Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I almost forgot what day it was there for a minute. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so there was a new one that popped up over there this morning. So swing on by, see what's happening, and I don't know, leave your comments, whatever you feel like doing over there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right. Well, what's going on today? Anything good that you liked or enjoyed?
No, reading about a former World Series MVP getting accused of sexually assaulting a 4-year-old. But I don't know.
Oh, the Jim Mullen thing? Yeah, I didn't look too much into that yet. So. You know, that's always, ridiculous stuff that I just don't want to know about, probably. So.
No, I don't either. You know, it was reported that the White Sox offered, like, so much money for 7 years was the offer. I forgot what it was.
$175 million.
There we go.
So $25 million a year.
But it wasn't announced if he actually turned it down. There's an expiration date on it. So I found that one pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to figure if it's the only offer he's got right now, you know, and remember, this happened to J.D. Martinez last year. You know, he waited and waited and didn't sign till, I think it was early February, because they were convinced they were going to get a better offer than, I think the Red Sox ended up paying him $110 million is what he ended up getting. So, you know, this could be a situation similar, you know, to this where, you know, they're sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, okay, no big deal. I'm going to, land this big contract, and it may not be out there. So.
But what I did find funny, though, is, you know, that was kind of reported by Buster Olney and Bob Nightingale. Manny's agent, Lozano, first name Dan, of the MVP Sports Group, you know, basically told him that is not true. And that he feels like their reporting is misleading and essentially trying to affect negotiations through the public, quote, unquote.
Yeah, I guess kind of the humorous thing for me is if this is accurate, which I have a really good feeling it is, you know, should Harper have jumped on the 10-year, $300 million offer the Nationals made at the beginning of these negotiations? Because we were talking, $300, $400 million these deals might not be out there now.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So that with everyone knowing kind of what's out there, they can decide that they really don't want to go that high.
Right. You know, because, I mean, imagine. Yeah, well, imagine if, say, Machado ends up taking this deal, or, you know, maybe Philadelphia jumps in with 8 years at 200, and, you know, he settles on $25 million. Would it really be smart for any team to jump all the way up to 30 for Bryce Harper when that's not the market, and you could obviously get him for much less?
But, I mean, you know, you said, what's to stop Harper from, or, you know, should he go back? And it's part of what leads me to believe he's going to end up there. And that, I don't think, you know, you said that, you know, the Nationals threw that offer at 10 years, $300 million. So now everyone else has their match. You know, do I offer more? Is it going to take 301?
Yeah.
310? For an extra million a year?
Yeah, you do wonder if maybe that's the best offer he's going to get, you know, in the end. And, you know, I know you've been saying all along that he was going back there. When I did the MLB Trade Rumors free agent contest, I actually had him going back there as well. So we've both kind of been agreement that he's going back to Washington. You know, more and more it's looking like that may be his best offer, just to go back to Washington.
Well, and you know how I brought up Uncle Bob over the weekend and being upset with the fact that the Rickets aren't going to spend money or the kind of money to get Bryce Harper, but you know, while I'm not going to say it's not worth it, but at the same time, I feel like with the staff that the Cubs have, it really isn't worth it for the Cubs to spend all that money on him. And, you know, that's one of the things that baffles me, is that I think people get way too caught up in the hype.
Well, you know, here's my new question when it comes to the Cubs and all this garbage. Is it worth bringing in Bryce Harper or Manny Machado if you're going to have to see Rizzo, Bryan, and Baez walk when they become free agents because you can't afford them? You
no,
know, does that help?
Logical
does that make you a better team?
No.
So, you know, you've got to be smart enough to look forward when it, you know, when it comes to all this, because that's a, you know, a serious possibility. I mean, you know, we talked about it yesterday. These Cubs guys are going to be hitting free agency, and there's going to be a group of them that are going to go up together. You know, there's a chance that not all of them are going to be back. If you were to make a deal like this and spend the, you know, maybe it's only $200 million for Machado, but it's $300 million right now for Harper. That's where the market is. You know, well, then all of a sudden, oh, great. Well, you know, I can't afford to pay Chris Bryant, who's going to be in that ballpark if he's healthy and has another couple good seasons. You know, Javi Baez wasn't, you know, the MVP runner-up last year. If that career projection continues, he's in that ballpark. You know, and then Rizzo is probably a slot below them salary-wise. But those are three big, big deals that you're going to have to come up with. So is it worth it to, you know, oh, yeah, hey, great. Well, we landed Harper. That's awesome. And we didn't win anything because our bullpen sucked and couldn't hold a lead. And now these guys are leaving because I gave Harper all this money. You know, that just doesn't make a lot of long-term sense to me.
No, and you on average have, what, roughly a 50-plus million a year outfield between two guys up until it was 2023?
Yeah, and, you know, unless, I think Hayward has one more opt-out unless you get lucky and he takes that. But, you know, he would be stupid to take that. So, yeah, I mean, I get it. You want to, oh, yeah, hey, look, you know, look at what, you know, these guys did. And, you know, oh, the Cubs are so great. They did this. And, you know, the White Sox suck and blah, blah, blah. You know, the White Sox aren't in this position. I mean, they don't have any mainstream free agents that they're going to be losing here soon, except for maybe Jose Abreu. And while it would be sad to see him go, you know, right now it looks like he's just a DH, and you can replace those pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you've got to be, this happens a lot. I mean, we see it here in Chicago a lot, but it happens everywhere. You know, your fandom gets in the way, and, you know, for lack of a better term, I guess, just makes you stupid when it comes to these things, because you don't look at the big picture. You know, it's like, okay, great. Well, we signed Bryce Harper. Cool. Where are we playing him? You know, Schwarber's going to sit, or, you know, who's sitting, who's not playing, you know, or great. Okay. Well, we signed Manny Machado. Okay, cool. We're going to plug him in at short and then Baez plays full time. You know, Joe Maddon is going to find Ben Zobrist at bats. So who do they come from? Take him away from Machado. Does Bryant lose at bats? You know, all of a sudden you got a great player who's losing at bats because this is going to happen. You know, Ben Zobrist isn't going to be a one-day-a-week player. So, you know, yeah, it just kind of, you know, just kind of wonder, you know, how, you know, what people would think if that happened, or just imagine the frickin' uproar if Baez or Bryant or maybe both had to leave because the Cubs couldn't compete with the market. So, you know, I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. You know, and that's the big thing you have to wonder with all these guys or all these teams, except for, you know, you throw the White Sox in as an exception because they're in the market there. But, you know, if the Phillies make this move, you know, they're going to have to kind of wonder, you know, can you keep Rhys Hoskins when the time comes? So, you know, it just kind of, you know, kind of the way the game is played. And, I mean, obviously, if you win a World Series, it's all worth it. Or maybe you have to win two. But, you know, if you win it, you know, it's worth it. But, yeah, imagine if you make these signings and they don't win, then how does that work? You know, whose fault is it then? You know, they gave the fans what they wanted. It's not, you know, the fans are never going to take the blame.
No. Well, and, you know, when it comes to the White Sox, I mean, the real only long-term contract they have is Tim Anderson, which taps out at 12.5 in 5 years. So,
yeah,
Philly,
I mean,
they're in a great position to sign either one of these guys.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think, you know, the Phillies, with the exception of Rhys Hoskins, I honestly don't know if there's a guy that they just couldn't walk away if maybe they couldn't afford him. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, like, I don't think people get too upset if, like, Mikel Franco had to go, you know, or even a guy like Odubel Herrera, who I think is pretty popular in their market, of course, only when he's doing good, because in Philadelphia, you're only popular when you're playing well. if you're playing poorly, they hate you, and they hate you greatly. So,
well, I mean, he signed through 2021 and he has options for 22 and 23, and then Franco is still under team control until the end of 2021. And then Reese Hoskins is under team control for the next two seasons and then hits arbitration year one in 2021 and then, you know, 2023. So,
yeah, how much,
you know,
how much longer is Aaron Nola under control for? Because he could be a big contract, you know, as well.
He's got three more, so 21 is his last. And then, you know, unless, of course, they sign him, you know, next year or the year after. But he's technically a free agent in 22.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, they've got him for a few more seasons then.
So, I mean, they're definitely in position to sign Machado or Harper to 7 to 10 years. And, you know, maybe lose a couple guys, but be able to pick some stuff up around them. You know, where the downside with the south side of Chicago is, you know, Machado goes there, is it 3-4 years before they really become a contender?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, that's what it's looking like. If he's going to go there, it's going to have to be, you know, now, obviously. So, you know, and that'll, you know, that's, you know, that leans into his decision. I mean, obviously, you know, they look like they're going to be a better team than they were last year. But, you know, again, I mean, I'm really not sold on their starting pitching. Yeah, you know, I like the moves they made at the back end of the bullpen. But, you know, with Michael Kopech being gone for the entire year, you know, you got guys who are still developing in Giolito and Lopez, and I'm not super sold on, you know, the other guys that are going to bounce around in the rotation there. Like, I heard them mention that Dylan Covey is a guy they're interested in trying to cultivate back into the rotation, and that shouldn't bring a warm feeling to anybody. So,
yeah, I mean, my favorite pitcher out of that starting rotation, though, has to be Ronaldo Lopez. I definitely like Giolito. He gets the K's, but, you know, he's got an issue with he's almost like a Jeff Samardzija. Would you compare them?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, you know, Giolito has a chance to learn and improve, where, you know, with Samardzija, you kind of know this is what you're going to get with him. I mean, this is Samardzija, and, you know, that's kind of how it's going to be. So maybe, you know, maybe Giolito has a chance to turn himself into a different pitcher. But, yeah, you know, I mean, without Kopech, who, you know, did that, you know, look like an ace, you know, of course, the question being, will we ever see him pitch more than, you know, five innings? You know, Lopez looks like, you know, he's the guy. I mean, you know, I did like the Ivan Nova ad, because you're going to need a guy who eats up innings, and that's what Nova does. You know, I keep hearing about how great Carlos Rodon is going to be. I guess my question is, when is he going to be it? Because he's in his, what is he in? Is it his third year at the big league level now? I don't even know off the top of my head. I'll have to bing his stats here. But you know, I know he was coming back from injury, Carlos Rodon. I know he was coming back from injury last year. You know, he lost basically 2 years. I don't know if it was Tommy John or what he had. But, yeah, he's headed into his fifth season. He's 26 and 29. You can understand on a losing team that's going to happen, but that ERA is 4.01. So, you know, I mean, I could take 26 and 29 if that ERA was under 4, you know, I would be much, you know, much happier with it. You know, but I mean, I get it. All the sabermetric numbers line up. He gives up way less than a hit per inning. You know, his strikeout totals are not quite double what his walk totals are, but he's in the general area there. You know, so they're going to get all excited about him when you see that. But, you know, obviously on the field, it's got to equate to wins. That hasn't happened yet. You know, now he's only 26. I think he just turned 26. Back in December. So, you know, maybe he'll be the ace this staff is looking for, but, you know, again, I mean, they coddle these guys and they protect these guys so much. You know, like last year, he started 20 games, Dan. He pitched 120.2 innings. So on average, he barely gave you a shade over six innings. So now, you know, you've got more innings for your bullpen to cover. You know, and while, like I said, I like what the White Sox did at the back end of the bullpen, Alex Colomay and Kelvin Herrera are really good at. You know, it's two guys with closing experience. You know, they can kind of share the role, kind of like I was hoping the Cubs would do with Morrow, find a guy to take some of the load off them. You know, we know Nate Jones can get outs. The problem is Nate Jones is never healthy to get outs. The rest of that bullpen is a crapshoot. It's young guys trying to make a name for themselves and find a role at the major league level. So, you know, that probably equals a lot of losses. So, yeah, I don't know, you know. And right now the roster I'm looking at has Dylan Covey penciled in the bullpen. But, you know, I heard yesterday he's one of the guys they want to give him a look, pity that number five guy. So maybe. But, yeah, you know, that and, you know, the fact, I got to tell you, Dan, if, you know, if Eloy Jimenez isn't in the White Sox lineup, you know, maybe after the first, yeah, well, I would say after the first month of the season, I probably will just completely stop watching White Sox games because, you know, obviously they're not trying to win. You know, he's clearly one of their top nine players, belongs in the outfield somewhere. You know, you can't, like, looking at the, here, they're penciled in starting outfield right now is Daniel Polka in left, Adam Engel in center, and John Jay in right. You can't tell me that Jimenez isn't better than all three of those guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, Polka's a nice, solid, probably 20 to 30 home run hitter if he plays every day. Engel can't hit his weight but is a gold glove defender. And John Jay is a journeyman who doesn't really need to be playing every day. And let's be honest, Dan, you know, the only reason they gave him the one-year deal is because they were trying to lure Machado. You know, there's no other reason John Jay is on this team. He's here for a year. If Manny signs, great, we'll say goodbye to him. And, you know, that's the end of the John Jay White Sox tour. But, yeah, none of these guys are better than him and us.
I mean, I was going to use that he doesn't really need to be playing every day. I feel like the time has come where he doesn't even need to be playing anymore.
Well, I don't know if he's quite that far gone, but yeah, you know, I mean, because he's only going to be 34. You know, you can hang around as a fourth outfielder for a long time, and you know, I mean, I guess as long as he manages to stay productive or can be a good defender, there's always kind of a role for these guys. But yeah, I just can't see him as a starter. You know, that's just frightening to me. I mean, you know, that was part of my problem was when he was with the Cub. I didn't realize, you know, he was playing all the time. He ended up playing 141 games. How much did that set Alberta Outworth development back? Because he got to watch John Jay play the outfield almost every day when those were his at-bats. So, you know, and, you know, to be fair, I'm not even sure if, you know, some of these outfielders are better than that. What's the Cuban? They have a, the White Sox have a Cuban player, Luis Robert. You know, he's probably a couple years away. I'm not even sure if these outfielders are better than him. So, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how they handle it. But, yeah, I think if, you know, if we're a month in and I don't see Jimenez in the everyday lineup, I'll probably dump the White Sox for the year. For the year or for either until he shows up. Because obviously they'll just be a complete joke. And you know, they won't want to. They're not looking to win baseball games. You know, they're just looking to hold this guy back so they don't have to pay him. And you know, that's garbage. So we'll see. Oh. But yeah, I did see we did have one signing, Dan, and I know it's not a, you know, not a huge thing, but it looks like Wilmer Flores is headed to Arizona, you know, after hanging out with the Mets for quite a few years. Do you kind of assume he's going to be the everyday first baseman right now with what they've got going on there?
I didn't even know he could play first base.
Yeah, he spent spent some time playing first base for the Mets a couple years ago, and I can't remember who got hurt. But yeah, he played. I gotta get the number here so I make sure I'm not a complete idiot and I know what I'm talking about here. Yeah, he's actually played 139 career games at first base. So. You know, he does have a little bit of experience. Played over there a little bit the last year, but he's also played there the last three seasons for the Mets. Yeah, with what Arizona's got going on, does he wander in as an everyday player? I mean, Dan, you got to tell me what the hell Arizona's doing, and B, do you think he's the regular guy?
I think he's going to have to be unless they pick up his pockets or something.
Well, there is talk that Jake Lamb may play some first base there. I don't know if he's ever done it in his career. You know, I think at the major league level, he's only been a third baseman. But I can check that real quick here.
Guy on my team last year that I just ended up giving up on. He never really seemed to take off or really be that big of a factor.
Yeah, he has 8 games, what equals to 29 career innings at first base. And I can understand why you gave up on him. He hit 22 in the 56 games he played. So he needs a bounce back here.
Oh, big time. I didn't pick him up thinking I'm getting, you know, Chris Bryant or anything like that, but I thought I was going to get a solid everyday, you know, 130 games minimum, which, you know, close to 50, you know, at least 75 RBIs, maybe 20 bombs. I think I ended up dropping them.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I can understand why you thought that. But, you know, while he wasn't just, you know, he hit just under 250 those 2 years, you know, he had 29 homers in 2016 and 30 homers in 2017 to go with 91 RBIs and then 105 RBIs in 2017. So I don't know, maybe it was the injury that caused him to have a down year, but he's definitely a guy who needs to bounce back.
You wonder how that would affect him if he were moved to first base, or if at least that spring training time would make up for that.
Yeah, well, you know, first base is an easy position to play, right? Oh.
Supposed to be.
know. You know, I am wondering, and I'm not even sure if, you know, we know this for a fact, Dan, but are the Diamondbacks still lugging around Yasmani Tomas's contract?
Oh, that's my guy that I missed.
Because, you know, he played 106 games in AAA last year. You know, they never brought him up. You know, he was never even looked at as any kind of a call-up. But, you know, unless they're still lugging him around here, it says, you know, 6 years. It looks like he signed for, where is the deal here? Come on. Oh, do they not have it? Oh, they don't have it here. Dead figures. So, yeah, I'm assuming signed through 2020. So, yeah, I guess they're going to carry him for a couple more years.
I mean, what, besides Mr. Fantasy's hate on him, you know, I know he had some injuries, but what happened? Well, I guess maybe Jake Lamb happened. And then they had a solid outfield that they wanted to roll with.
Yeah, I think their plan was they thought he was going to be a third baseman. And then when they got him, they realized he couldn't play third base. And they just didn't have a spot for him. I don't know why he got the demotion. You know, I mean, there's no reason they couldn't have carried him as a, you know, a corner outfielder. And he can play some first base. So, you know, he could have been a, you know, a Goldschmidt day off kind of guy and then filling in the corner outfield. And he would have been a pretty interesting hitter to have on your bench. But, yeah, apparently they didn't see it that way. And they needed him out. So,
I mean, he
maybe
did put up,
it was,
you know, decent numbers.
Yeah. Maybe it was something that, you know, like we don't know about. Maybe it was a clubhouse thing or something like that. You know, you have to wonder. But yeah, you know, in his two full seasons, you know, his second season, he hit 31 home runs. So it, you know, it looked like he was kind of coming into his power. I don't know. You know, kind of, you know, that's the tough stuff you and I aren't privy to. You know, we don't have the inside on the Diamondbacks there, but, yeah, you got to wonder at this point, would it actually be so bad if they, you know, they brought him back and tried to do something with him?
I mean, I don't think they have an option. I think it's a must, but you've got to wonder with the coach, who I forgot who the coach is, the manager is, and if too much of the analytics are in the front office, so maybe that's what's keeping him down. Is his WAR not high enough, or Babbitt, or?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's always possible. His career WAR is negative here. It's negative 2.4. You know, and I know he's not a great defender, but you know, at this point, I mean, you're signing Wilmer Flores to play first base. You can't tell me Tomas couldn't help or couldn't fit or, you know, do something like that there. I mean, he'll probably, you know, he would probably hit 20 more home runs as a full-time first baseman than, you know, than Flores. Well, nothing against Flores, you know, and he, you know, and of course he can always go and, you know, be a utility guy. You know, he's done that throughout his career. So, I'm lost at what this team's doing, Dan. I don't understand it at all. You know, and especially if they turn around and decide to trade Robbie Ray like they're talking. You know, I can understand you want to dump Greinke's salary, you overpaid him. Okay, I'm cool with that. But, yeah, to dump Robbie Ray, why the hell am I going to watch this team, Dan?
When it's Baumgartner versus Greinke, other than that.
So, yeah, and then if they, you know, if they do manage to get rid of Greinke, you know, I mean, are they in rebuild mode? Are they in just trying to survive mode? I don't understand what they're, you know, what they're doing here. And, you know, this was a team that competed last year. You know, I mean, they hung around for a long time in the, you know, in the division in the wild card race before finally kind of running out of gas. So I'm totally just at a loss for words on what the hell they're doing.
Do you think they know what they're doing?
I guess you do have to ask that question at this point, don't you? I mean, I don't get it. So,
you know, obviously you hope that the return on Goldschmidt turns out a lot better than the Shelby Miller deal.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, but you would like to hope. So, but yeah, I thought when they brought Escobar back that they were, you know, gonna kind of reload and, you know, see if they could work things out. Because you figure if you've get a, you know, I understand, okay, you didn't want to pay Corbin. All right, I get it. You know, that was a big market. But, you know, you're going to get a healthy Robbie Ray. You've got Zach McKee. You know, Clay Buchholz was really good for you. I know you'd have to re-sign him, but I can't see it being that expensive. So you take a shot there. You know, Zach Godley would be, you know, he would be okay at the back of the rotation. You know, you would have to find one more guy. I don't know if maybe you've got somebody in your system or how that would work out. But, yeah, it, you know, it looked like they were a team that could hang around and compete with, you know, the Dodgers and the Rockies. And, you know, you never know. Maybe 2019 was going to be their year, but, you know, I guess it's not. But yeah, I don't know, Flores is a nice player, you know, he can fill in around, but I don't know if he's a linchpin to a championship team or anything like that. So,
break time.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, Dan's going on break, so let's jump into a different topic. Now, you know, we talked a little bit about the NBA yesterday, and, you know, we were kind of wondering how the Jimmy Butler going against his former team thing would kind of work out. And, well, it worked out, I guess, kind of exactly how I thought it was. Actually, I think it went a little worse than what I thought it was going to be. The 76ers completely blew the Timberwolves out of the water. I mean, it wasn't even close. It ended up 149-107. The 76ers actually put up 83 points in the first half. Now, again, I don't know if, you know, that proves anything or, you know, means anything to that point. But, you know, Butler, he went 8 of 10 from the field, made three or four free throws, ended up with 19 points. So, you know, he had a solid game, not a great game. It was really Joel Embiid putting up 31 points with 13 boards that really dominated. You know, Ben Simmons almost had a triple-double, 20 points, 11 rebounds, and 9 assists. You know, Butler's big concern was he didn't think Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns were working hard enough, and last night, Wiggins was 4 from 14 from the field. and Towns was 4 for 10. So yeah, it maybe it showed a little bit. I don't know. You know, and I did see a couple of the highlights where you know, the 76ers really amped up the defense on those two guys, and it, you know, they struggled with it. So, you know, you wonder if maybe Butler was right in a sense to where, you know, these guys have got to get a little more work ethic, so to speak, or, you know, however you want to look at it. But it was definitely a beatdown last night in Philly. You know, and then the other big game was the top two teams in the Western Conference. You know, the Warriors were going into Denver to take on the Nuggets, and, you know, a lot of questions about the Warriors. You know, it was like, you know, are they the same team? You know, can they, you know, do these, you know, these little things that they used to do to win titles? And they did them last night, 142-111. They beat the Nuggets. And now remember, this game was in Denver. So, you know, you would think it might have been a little closer, but, you know, the Warriors went out, and, you know, while the Sixers put up 83 points in the first half, the Warriors put up 79. So, yeah, it was another, you know, game that looked like it was, you know, might be something interesting that didn't turn into it. You know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson each ended up with 31 points apiece, and Kevin Durant put up 27. So, you know, just kind of looked like we all thought the Warriors would look at, you know, this time. So we'll see if they, you know, they kind of can get something going. I know they're playing again tonight, and here's actually the schedule for tonight. You got the Magic at the Pistons. It's a doubleheader night on the Mickey Mouse Network. So the first game there is the Raptors at the Celtics. We've got the Nets at the Rockets, the Bucks at the Grizzlies, the Spurs at the Mavericks, the Cavaliers at the Trailblazers. The second game over on the Mickey Mouse Network has the Pelicans at the Warriors, and then the night wraps up with the Jazz at the Clippers. So a couple decent games if you're going to jump on and watch those. But, yeah, and now the Lakers, we talked a little bit about LeBron and the Lakers. They did get a win last night against a bad Bulls team, but it was announced that LeBron is going to miss two more games. And the two games he's going to miss now are going to be against the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets. So you've got to chalk those up as a couple more losses for the Lakers, unless they can pull an upset off. I know the Hawks did manage to beat the Thunder, last night. So maybe the Thunder could be had, but, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But it, you know, it's, you know, to the point now where, you know, these games might actually start to mean something here, and, you know, could add up. But I don't know how it's going to go, because I don't watch enough NBA to really have a perspective. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. Oh, but yeah, I don't know if I'll watch the, you know, it seems like a pretty good game, the Celtics. I know the Celtics have been struggling. The Raptors have been the best team in the East, which in reality, record-wise, they've been for a while now. And, you know, the Celtics, even though they're having their issues, They are in fifth. They are on a three-game losing streak, though. The Raptors come in on a five-game winning streak. So we'll see, you know, see how this goes. But yeah, you gotta wonder how you know, how it goes with the Raptors. What or how Kawhi decides to do. You know, Kawhi Leonard is there for just this year. And, you know, will he, you know, will he stick around? Will he decide to stay? I mean, obviously the Raptors can offer him more money than anybody else. So it could be interesting.
I always forget that he's there.
Yeah, so Dan, you're going to watch the Raptors and the Celtics tonight on the Mickey Mouse Network?
Maybe 10 minutes. I don't
know.
It's Wednesday. It's NBC Hockey Night.
Oh, is it? Who's the I don't even know who the game is. Yeah, I watched a little of Montreal-Boston the other night. So let me pull up the NHL schedule and we can see who is who's playing. I think the Blackhawks play tonight. I know that's exciting for Hawk fans. At least I think they did. No, maybe not. All right. Here we go. We got the Avalanche at the Senators. It's actually doubleheader night on NBC, Dan. We can start with the Bruins with the Flyers. If you got the Mickey Mouse Network app, you can get the Sabres at the Flames. Then we got the Oilers at the Canucks. And the last game on the good old NBC Sports Network is the Sharks at the Coyotes. So, and I don't know if you caught this highlight the other day, Dan. I don't know if you're watching hockey highlights like you do the baseball highlights in the summer, but did you happen to see the goal that went off the Arizona player's face the other day? I think it was 2 days ago.
No, I missed that one.
Yeah, it was kind of ugly looking. You know, the guy took his slap shot from the point, and this guy was trying to, you know, get in front of the net and cause some disturbance for the goalie, and he went down, and, you know, wouldn't you know it, his helmet kind of jostled. And sure enough, he got hit right in the face. And somehow the puck went in the net. So just kind of.
Did he get an assist on that one?
Well, actually, he gets the goal because it went off him. But that's a tough way to score a goal, man. I don't think anybody wants to make their living that way. Oh, that's horrible. So yeah, I'll have to check out some of that Bruins Canadiens game. Okay, who is it? Bruins Flyers or whoever that first game is. I'll have to check some of that out.
Yeah, the Flyers.
Oh, even though I know the Flyers haven't been very good this year, but the Bruins are playing pretty well. Let me see what we got here. Yeah, the Bruins have 57 points, and they're in third place in the Atlantic. The Flyers, unfortunately, are dead last in the Metropolitan Division with just 40 points. So, but, Dan, they're not the worst team in hockey. The Ottawa Senators actually only have 39 points. So, you know, but I
were
did.
They in the playoffs last year?
The Senators, yeah. I think you picked them to win the Stanley Cup, but that, you know, I'm not sure about that one. So, but yeah, I did get a trade offer, Dan. We were talking about it yesterday that we hadn't gotten too many trade offers. And I did get one in the hockey league, and here it is. Let me pull it up for you. No surprise that somebody would want Shea Weber from me. He's one of the better defensemen in the the league. But now this guy wants to give me Corey Schneider, who is the New Jersey Devil goalie who happens to be on IR. So, when he actually doesn't have any timetable to return. So that would be great. He wants to give me Artem Anisimov of the Blackhawks, and then he wants to give me Matt Niskanen of the Senators. Or excuse me, the Capitals, sorry. So, yeah, he wants to give me those three guys for Shea Weber.
Seems like a fair deal.
So, well, I don't really need another guy who's on IR, especially with no chance, with no return point. So I'll have to go in and look at the deal a little more closely and see, what it all involves. And I I'm not actually thrilled with having too many Blackhawks because they're just not a very good team. And the tough part for me is I need goal scoring, and Anisimov really isn't a goal scorer. But I'll have to sit down and take a closer look at it and see if it lines up or possibly makes some sense, or maybe I can send him a comment.
I was being sarcastic, but generally when I got trade offers like that, I would counter with something just as ridiculous.
So, yeah, I would have no problem moving Weber as long as I can get a fair deal. But, we talked about it yesterday, I need goal scorers. And that, those guys aren't going to help me score. I don't even know if those two guys put together score as many goals as Weber. I know Weber at least shoots the puck. So. But yeah, I'll have to go in and look and see if see if I can maybe get him to work a better deal, or if he's just looking to rip me off and not even be serious. So but yeah, that's just kind of. So finally, yeah, we were talking about it yesterday. We haven't been getting too many trade offers, but yeah, I finally got one. So there you go.
And it's crap.
You were excited about that for me?
I mean, like I said, you got to turn around and offer him something as equal. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So see what I can come up with. I'll have to take a look there and see how it goes. But yeah, I was like, well, at least I got something. So, and I know the other thing, I don't know if you managed to catch this one either. Did you get to hear Snoop Dogg doing commentary at the Los Angeles Kings game?
No, I caught a little, I didn't hear it, but I read that he was there.
Yeah, I forgot what he was doing there. He was doing some kind of promotion, and he found his way into the broadcast booth, so they let him do commentary. And while he didn't know too many of the names, he was calling guys by numbers. He was quite humorous, in doing it, and because there was almost a fight. And he was just kind of like, yeah, get after him, or, something to that effect. And I got a kick out of listening to him. I don't know if I could listen to him for a whole game. But, yeah, he was humorous. So, but, yeah, I was just like, oh, okay. What the heck? I mean, I kind of wish more guys would do that, but I don't know. I guess maybe it would get old fast if it would kind of like the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley now, where it's just kind of boring no matter who, unless it's Harry on the scoreboard, I don't really care who's doing it.
Yeah, well, and that's even gotten boring with the fact that they've got tons of footage and they use the same footage, so kind of loses its value.
Do they use the same footage? So.
Yeah, it's the same footage. The only one who I did find entertaining was John Lovitz. remember from A League of Their Own, the Scout.
Oh, yeah.
He did a seventh-inning stretch for something. I don't remember what he was promoting or if he was just there. And, you know, he talked about it as a kid, how he loved, you know, doing baseball commentary with his brother or whatever. And, you know, he liked the old style. And, they, you know, instead of doing the normal talky-talk and BS, he actually went into, you know, more of a 20s-style commentary where he started calling the game as if it was the 1930s radio. That was pretty cool. I'd rather have that going on than Bob Bradley, but that's another story.
1930s. Do you used to sit by the radio and listen to the games?
Mm-hmm.
Did they have TV in the 1930s?
Team.
Yeah. You know, when was TV invented?
I don't know. I think it was mainstream, like in the 50s. I forget all that stuff from my broadcasting days in school.
Yeah, I was gonna say you should know all this stuff from going to school. So you should be all set.
Yeah, I forgot it all.
Yeah, it is odd how you go through this and you have to remember all this, and now I couldn't tell you anything from anything back when that, you know, what was I supposed to remember? Do you remember anything that you learned from broadcasting school?
I'm sure something, but not completely, you know.
You know, I just get random stuff that kind of pops up. You know, oddly, I can remember, you know, sports stuff. But, yeah, you know, like I guess what you would call the important stuff or, you know, stuff like that I was supposed to remember or all that algebra I took that now doesn't do me any good. I guess it could help me in sabermetrics, right? Maybe I could put it to some use there.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I remember is all radio stations west of the Mississippi had a K, and all stations east have a W except for one. I think they're out of Pittsburgh has a K.
Oh, okay. Oh, I did not know there was a K in one of the Pittsburgh stations. So, you know, that's interesting to know. So yeah, I have been, you know, using my Echo Dot to try to find some of the, you know, how we want to listen to the out of town sports stations. So I've been trying to find some of them, and just kind of see what we're talking about. But I got to do a little more digging because I did it the week of the college football championship, and it was a lot of college football talk that I just wasn't, you know, all that interested in. So,
yeah, so were you able to tune into, you know, like a station in L.A. or Seattle or?
Remember, the podcast is available for you on the platform over at